Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us for the Max and Yeti Mandra Aleihem HaShalom Elite Virtual Summer Beit Midrash program for 2 weeks of learning starting July 26th with celebrated educators Rebbetzin Peshi Neuberger, Rabbanit Shani Tarragon, Michal Horowitz, Sarah Lippman, Leah Feinberg, Rivka Marin, and Avigail Myers. Class topics include Tanakh, Halacha, Tikkun Hamidot, and Jewish history. Register at ou.org/women/elite2022. That's ou.org/women/ALIT2022. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu, Perek Chaf Zayin, 27. Just like in last Perek, this Perek starts off with the words, by Yom Hahu, on that day. On that day when Hashem brings down the strong nations. Hashem's revenge will take place on dry land and also by sea, as that will be the focus of the beginning of this Perek. Back in Breshit, Perek Aleph, Hashem creates the Taninim Hagdolim, which Rabbi Yochanan in Bava Batra 74b identifies as the Leviathan Nachash Bariach, the snake-like creature with the straight long body, and the Leviathan Nachash Akalaton, the snake-like creature with the coiled body. Although Hashem created them male and female, as all creatures were, there was a fear that if they were to reproduce, because of their large size, they would overtake the world. Therefore, some understand that Hashem killed the Tanin in the sea during Yemei Breshit, as it says in our Pasuk Aleph here, Veharag et Hatanin Asher Bayam. Our Pasuk also starts off with the words, Bayom Hahu, Yifkod Hashem Becharbo HaKasha VeHagdola VeHachazaka. That Hashem is going to punish with his strong sword. The Gemara notes the difference between the words Yifkod and the word veharag at the end of the pasuk, and offers the opinion that one killing was done prior and one yifkod will be done in the future. So some understand the beginning of the pasuk to be when Hashem took away the availability of the male to reproduce and salted and preserved the female version of the tanin for tzadikim la'atid lavo, for the future. The focus on the Leviathan, the Nachash, and the Tanin could be symbolizing the strong and arrogant rulers of the enemy nations that are going to be brought down in the future. The image of the snake symbolizes the first being to rebel against Hashem. The Gemara relays a conversation between Hashem and the Tanin during the days of creation, when Hashem asked the Tanin to swallow some of the waters of the world to make room for dry land, and he refused to do so, and so that's why Hashem maybe killed him. The Tanin is also symbolic of the arrogance of Egypt, since the image is associated with the god of the Egyptians, and the stick of Moshe, as we know, back in Sefer Shemot, was transformed into a Nachash and into a Tanin. The conjuring of these creatures in this perek could be conveying the message that just like Hashem's wonders and miracles that were performed during Briat HaOlam and Yetziat Mitzrayim, so too will be the case during the final redemption that's being discussed here. And we're being told that our enemies in the time of the Geula will be stubborn and evil and arrogant, just like Paro was during his time, and just like the Midrashic interpretation of the monster of the sea during Yemei Breshit, all who attempted to rebel against Hashem and deny his absolute power. The three different mentions in Pasuk Aleph of the Leviathan Nachash Briach, Leviathan Nachash Akalaton, and the Tanin Asher Bayam could be symbolizing three different kingdoms. The Nachash Bariach, the snake whose body is straight, could be a reference to Paro. The serpent that is Akalaton, coiled and crooked and stretches further, could be a reference to Ashur. And the Tanin in the sea mentioned at the end of the Pasuk could be a reference to the nation of Tzor, the one that we focused on back in Perek Chaf Gimel. Others identify Bavel as the third nation being referenced here, and other opinions like the Mitzudat David throw in Edom and Yishmael into the mix as well as some of the nations being represented. In Pesukim Bet Through Hay, we switch gears and we read a song about a kerem, a vineyard. This is the second such shir in the Sefer. The first was in Perek Hey. We're told that this will be sung by Yom Hahu as well, after the nations are brought down. This Kerem Chemer that is spoken about is one that produces good, high-quality wine that Hashem guards during the time of Galut and that will be discovered at the time of redemption. Hashem is the one guarding the vineyard and working it, and Hashem waters it from time to time and takes care of it day and night without a break. Pasuk Dalet has an interesting phrase. Chema Einli, I have no anger towards the Kerem. This is a marked difference from the first song about the Kerem, the vineyard, because here there are no complaints, no anger, whereas in Perek Hey, there were accusations made to the Jewish nation about how the good seeds that were planted didn't transfer to quality wine and grapes. In the continuation of Pasuk Dalet here, the Kerem itself seems to say, Mi itneni shamir shayit b'milchama, who will dare to destroy me through battle and turn me to desolate? It's a rhetorical question, as if to say no one would dare to do so. Some other ways to understand this pasuk are offered by the commentators. Rashi says we can read this as, even though the Jewish nation, the vineyard, has provoked me, Hashem says he will not destroy Bnei Yisrael and the vineyard because of the promises he made to the forefathers. If not for that, then Hashem would have turned it into thorns and made it wild and ignited in flames. Others like the Radak explain these words to mean Hashem is saying, Chema Einli, he is Erech Apayim, he is slow to anger, so he has no anger when it comes to Bnei Yisrael presently. For if he wanted to respond when the vineyard produced thorns instead of grapes, he could tread it with one blow, with one foot, and for the other nations, he will respond quicker and harsher when it comes to punishing them. When it comes to Bnei Yisrael, he chooses to punish them little by little so that they are not totally overwhelmed and totally destroyed. Pasuk Hey continues, Im yechazek b'ma'ozi ya'aseh shalom li. If they would only hold on to my fortress, they would make peace for me. The fortress mentioned here can represent the Torah, which is what they should hold on to and will allow Hashem to have peace from the midat hadin, from having to judge them, and there would be no conflict then with the nation, and there would be peace between the nation and Hashem. As I mentioned, the image of the Kerem has already been introduced earlier in the Sefer, and it begs us to compare and contrast here and there. The main difference from Perek Hey is that the Kerem here is good and productive, and the metaphor is explained more directly, with no need for Psukim explaining the Nimshal, how to understand the parable of who is represented by the vineyard and who is Hashem in our Perek. In Perek Hey, Hashem told the clouds not to rain down on the vineyard, and here we see the vineyard is being watered. There in Perek Hey, the Shamir and Shayit, the weeds and the thorns grew and overtook the vineyard as part of the punishment, yet here that is not the case. The rest of this Perek starts with the words, Habayim Yashresh Yaakov, and are the beginning of the Haftorah for Parshat Shmot, according to Ashkenazi tradition. Rashi says these words are referring to when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim and established roots, Shorashim there, and multiplied. Yaakov will set up roots in the land, and Bnei Yisrael will flower and be full of fruit. The full process is mentioned here in Pasuk Vav. Yashresh are the roots, then Yatzitz uParach, there will be flowers, and then the fruits. Umal'u Pnei Tevel Tnuva. Hakimakat Makehu Hikahu? The words in Pasuk Zayin mean that Hashem is talking about hitting someone similarly to how others were hit in the past. This can be looked at as a rhetorical question. Will Hashem hit the enemy and punish the enemy, whether Paro or whether the Knanim or Sancheirev, with the same blows as he does and brings upon the Jews? And of course, as a rhetorical question, the answer is of course not. For sure, what Hashem brings upon the enemies will be worse. Pasuk Chet says it will be Besa'asea, which is understood as coming from the words Se'ah Se'ah, exact measurements. Hashem fights with Bnei Yisrael in an exact amount and an exact measurement and doesn't go over it. Se'ah corresponds to a se'ah. This is a formulation of the phrase of Mida Keneged Mida in terms of how Hashem will punish enemies, such as with the Egyptians, that they started off drowning our boys in the water, and they in turn then were punished by Hashem through drowning in the Yam Suf. When it comes to the enemies, they will be fully destroyed with an east wind. which could be a reference to the Ruach Kadim that caused the split in the Yamsuf back in Parshat Beshalach. So we see references here to the punishments brought upon the Egyptians, and we see connections to why this is part of the Haftorah for Parshat Shemot. Pasuk Tet tells us how Yaakov can be worthy of the forgiveness and intervention of Hashem that was just delineated if they destroy the mizbachot that were for Avodah Zarah and crush the stones of the mizbeach so they're not usable and can't be rebuilt in the future, and so that they don't erect asherahs, the trees that were used for Avodah Zarah. And if they don't do these things, then they will be totally forgiven as the barriers to tshuva will be removed. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, the metaphor here is of a tree and its leaves drying out and falling to the ground. Biyavosh k'tzira tishabarna. This imagery is similar to like the vineyard mentioned in the first psukim in our parak. This tree too can be seen to symbolically represent Am Yisrael. Here, it is one that can be easily broken and easily ignited by fire once it is dried out, which enables them and did enable them to fall into the hands of the enemy, even a weak enemy. Ki lo am bino tu, because it is not a people of understanding. The Jewish nation didn't totally understand the consequences of leaving Hashem, because if they had, they never would have allowed this to happen. Since they do not automatically return to Hashem when they are punished, Hashem does not have rachamim and turns his face from them. And that's how many understand this pasuk. Rashi understands the pasuk actually as referring to the merit our enemies have that will dry out and run out at a certain point, which is when Hashem will then redeem us. For example, the merit of Edom coming from Esav for honoring his father, that at a certain point will run out, and then these nations, like the leaves, will dry out and be burned. Pasuk Yudbet turns now to the time of redemption. Using the tree imagery again, Hashem will pick us up one by one from that which is left on the trees and from that which has fallen from the trees, and he will separate us from the nations where we are intermingled and gather us. Yachbot Hashem, mishibolet hana'ar ad nachal Mitzrayim. We mentioned here this idea of a shibolet, of wheat, which we think of being gathered and picked up, and we also know that wheat, in preparing it to be used, we need to separate the seed from the chaff, from the part that's unusable. Like the nations will be separated from, the Jewish nation will be separated from the nations that they're living amongst, from Nahar Prat down to Nahal Mitzrayim. The ingathering of the exiles is compared to separating the wheat from the chaff as Jews are extracted from Galut. This perek ends with Pasuk Yud Gimel, a well-known pasuk about returning from Eretz Ashur and from Mitzrayim, referring to those from the 10 lost tribes and those from Eretz Yehuda. V'haya bayom hahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. On that day, the shofar will be sounded, a shofar gadol will be sounded. U'ba'u ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Those from Eretz Ashur and those exiled from Eretz Mitzrayim will return v'hishtachavu l'Hashem behar ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim, and they will bow down before Hashem on the holy mountain in Yerushalayim. This pasuk refers to the Ovdim, the lost ones, that will return from the land of Ashur, and the Nidachim, the ones exiled, referring to the people of Yehuda, who are exiled but not lost like the 10 tribes. Some explain why Mitzrayim comes up in this pasuk, because when it came to the people of Yehuda, they were temporarily gathered in Mitzrayim before being brought back to Yerushalayim, or they will be in the future. Then both groups will return to Yerushalayim, to the holy mountain, to Har HaMoriah, to the location of the Beis HaMikdash. We see here that the separation between these two divisions of the nation, going back to when the Melucha split, will now come to an end. The pasuk begins with the sounding of the shofar and is one of the psukim that may sound familiar because it's part of the shofarot section in the Musaf Amida of Rosh Hashanah. These last few prakim, which end off with Perek Chav Zayin, came after the specific masaot for each country, which were the prakim before those. And these prakim that we're just finishing now, we're really talking about the nations generally that punished us and exiled us and their rebellion against Hashem. We saw the response of the physical world and its involvement in the punishment for these evildoers. And mixed in with that were words of praise for Hashem and words of tefillah. And we conclude with everything being set straight in the end for Am Yisrael and for the world. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.